Welcome to the podcast of First Presbyterian Church of Marietta, where we are committed to changing lives with faith, hope, and love.
So we're looking at this book by, Jack Levison, Fresh Air. I want to go over the author's basic assumptions about the Spirit, just because I think probably every lesson that'd be good to do, because some of these things seem radical and refreshing and unusual. So he's got five principles that he names: that the Spirit is in every person and may be nurtured with simplicity and faithfulness. The Spirit has more to do with social upheaval than the status quo. Boy, we got some Spirit working now. The Spirit inspires whole communities. That's a hopeful point about the Spirit. The Spirit drives the faithful into arenas of hostility. Jesus promised us that, and it's true. We probably all experienced that at some level, in some way. And the Spirit simultaneously inspires both ecstasy and restraint, spontaneity and study. So what did you all think about those principles he laid out about Spirit?
Well, the thing I like about, and he emphasizes it sort of throughout, is that the Spirit is not just an individualistic thing.
Yeah.
I mean, we will compare, who is it in Job?
Elihu
and Daniel, and how the Spirit affects them. But so often we think of the Spirit acting only individualistically. And I think he tries to say, well, that may be true, but it's broader than that. I like that emphasis.
I was intrigued at first with his first statement that the Spirit is in every person and may be nurtured, you know, with simplicity, faithfulness, and attentiveness, that kind of thing. But the fact that it's in every person got my attention, and I guess I've fallen into the assumption that maybe a lot of Christians make, that Christians are the only ones that can have Holy Spirit. And he says that's not so. The Spirit is wider than we are. As a matter of fact, we got a whole half of the Bible before there's ever any Christians, that the Holy Spirit was in all kind of people.
The thing that strikes me so much about him, and I find this book very fascinating, is he does go against what we typically think of as the Holy Spirit being very emotional, very dramatic experience.
Yeah.
And with his comparison of Elihu and Daniel, I thought it was just really very interesting of how Elihu represents perhaps a young Christian or a young believer who thinks he has all the answers, and he thinks that he has the Spirit.
Right.
Where he really just does a lot of damage with what he says and does. Whereas Daniel, it's really interesting because we're coming off a study of Daniel, is so disciplined.
Yeah.
And this is sort of a challenge to me of seeing how I think this is a different look at the Spirit of being in people. And sometimes the people that are supposed to have it don't exhibit it very well.
It seemed to me like when I was reading at the very beginning somewhere in there that the Holy Spirit could be mean.
Well, that's, you know, that's the arenas of hostility in number four.
Yeah, what's that all about?
You know, sometimes it's driven into meanness, I guess, or hostility. Adversarial.
What I picked up with the meanness was at the first of the chapter when he was struggling with the question, why are some Christians so mean? And he doesn't say they don't have the Spirit in them. He assumes that everyone does. But what he did point out later was that these are people who misunderstand the Spirit and don't nurture their relationship with the Spirit. And they're just kind of going off in the name of the Spirit, kind of using the Spirit in vain. I'm reminded of how many preachers, when they say the Spirit laid it on my heart, I look out.
Yeah.
I start looking out.
Yeah.
I remember I was in a group of pastors one time, and there's one pastor that tried to dominate the whole group, the whole agenda with the meetings and our mission and all of that. By every time he'd come in and say, well, brothers, I'll tell you what Spirit laid on my heart before I was walking in here today. So I look out for that. I don't think that's a faithful understanding of what the Spirit does. The other thing that I wanted to talk about is about that point four, that the Spirit drives the faithful into arenas of hostility. That doesn't mean that you're driven to go out and break the windows and start looting, but the Spirit may drive you into that place with the word of peace, a word of truth.
Oh, yeah.
So it may put you in the middle of a mess, not that you'd be hostile to others.
Right. But I never have studied much about about the Holy Spirit.
Okay. I'll tell you what about Presbyterians. I think we resist the misuse of the Spirit. We resist those statements like the Spirit laid it on my heart, and then they go on to tell us what they wanted to do, not necessarily what God wants us to do. I think we resist things like that. And the emotional manipulations of emotions in the name of the Spirit, we resist that. So I don't think we're comfortable studying about the Spirit, but I am really I'm grateful for this author, Levison, because he gives us a different look at it that's much more in line with who we are as a Presbyterian faith. I wondered if you recognized in that portrayal of Elihu or Lahu, anybody that's closer to our history and culture. And
fact is that our world is right now full of people who think they know the right answers, and if you don't agree with them, you're just plain wrong.
Yeah.
And maybe bad.
Yeah.
That's the culture we're living in right
now. Not too much of that going on.
Joe, you started by the observation of what Levinson was talking about, that the Spirit can be found in all people, but that caused me to think of an aunt of mine who I love dearly. She's deceased. Who would be the definer of who the real Christian is? That always caught me. I thought that was just sort of weird that she would be the determiner. But what she was saying is basically, I've got the real Spirit, and that person doesn't.
Yes.
And I found fault in that.
But there's that fits a stereotype that people have of many Christians, that they have got the Spirit and they know what's right, and if you don't agree with them, you're wrong. And I think there's a lot of people who think that we are, many of us Christians are in fact that way.
Well, because in fact many of us are.
Yes.
But this Jack Levinson says, we have the potential to use the virtue of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Some people have not exercised that potential.
Mm-hmm. No, well, I think,
really hear much about it in the church, except through the things that we recite. And it's what you take away from it. Tim and Lucy have heard my grandson's stories. And
Marshall
was four. He drew a picture for me in the church, and there was the Father. And he said the little guy was the Son. Mm. And there was this smudge over in the corner. I said, "What is that, Marshall?" He said, "That's that ghost they talk about in the church." So what are we to understand from our upbringing and your life? How has it affected you?
I had a question about one of his statements throughout, you know, as I read that chapter, when he said that the Spirit does not inspire us to do anything. And he talked like that's the biblical teaching of it, but aren't there other, I didn't have time to look them up, but are there other references where the Spirit, you know, like drove Jesus out into the wilderness, inspired by the Holy Spirit, somebody stood up and did something? I think there's some things like that that happened.
I was looking at the beginning of Mark chapter 1. You have the baptism, but what did the Spirit do? The Spirit took Jesus out into the wilderness.
Mm-hmm.
So you say, well, why does that have to happen? Well, you know, what did Jesus do to deserve that? And yet that was a part of basically Jesus' development for his ministry that that needed to take place. But that was Spirit-driven.
Yeah. Well, he had to do that because he loved us.
Yeah.
And loved us completely. And unless tempted like we are, it would fall short of complete love.
One of the things I think from like the introduction in the first chapter is that I think Levinson is trying to build his case that the Spirit is not a New Testament thing only.
Yeah.
And so he is presenting these people to represent. And like he does that whole thing about it being not capital and S and that kind of thing. The Spirit is there. And I think that, like for today's lesson, is the contrast between what we would call the Spirit that we as Presbyterians are uncomfortable with the Spirit that is present. And I think he uses the word, it's there for the long haul.
Yes.
That it is something that we're called to cultivate. Mm-hmm. And it is some things that I just have never thought about that, about how the things that Daniel did that exhibited the Spirit was that, you know, he and his friends had the vegetarian diet.
Yeah.
And they didn't make a big deal, but they stood up for what they mm-hmm. believed. Daniel was recognized by these rulers, these three generations of rulers, as being
wise above all.
A wise with the Spirit of God in him.
Yeah.
Which I think it really is something I've been sort of chewing on all week of thinking about how it's there. But I thought this last point really sort of how to keep us Christian on our toes so that we can become less cruel, and he doesn't use the word, but he should say more kind. Christians need to let those who are not Christians judge whether we are Spirit-filled. And that's sort of, I'm not quite sure how I feel about that, you know, but.
Well, now, I think there's evidence that's how the New Testament church grew.
Right.
By watching Christians care for one another. And so they, you know, people do make a judgment. And they made a judgment in the first century that, you know, we were what we said. The Barna Group does a lot of studies in the general population of how how people view the church from different generations, different genders, different, you know, different groups in the country, how they view Christians. We are seen as judgmental and out of touch and not very humble and willing to learn. So I'm sad about that.
Well, you know, in a way we kind of bash Christians, but it's a known fact that Christians give more charity
right
than anybody else, and specifically American Christians. So, you know, to say that we don't care here and we're hypocrites and whatnot, I'm not all sure I want to go along with that.
Well, I take your point. And the point I was making was not that all Christians are, but people look at Christians and make wrong assumptions out of what they see in a few.
But who promotes the fact that this is how Christians are? Our church, First Press, look how much food they've given out, how many people have given food and whatnot that's needed and have given of themselves. To say that we're hypocritical, yeah, you know, but then again, we're also churchgoers and we go there for forgiveness and we go there to try and do better.
I mean, I think as a whole, you could judge us as helpful people, as wow, faithful people. But I think the unfortunate thing is that people take a few examples and misjudge the whole. And I'm hoping that as we, you know, as Daniel nurtured that relationship of the Spirit within him, his relationship with the Spirit, that's how his behavior was influenced. He exhibited the relationship he had with the Spirit of wisdom. It just came out and people saw it. It was interesting to me that these courtiers of the three different kings, they were pagans. And they all recognized that Daniel had the Holy Spirit within him. The Spirit of God, I think, what they said. So that I thought that was very interesting. And I think that's the best evangelism. As we get close to our time being up, I want to ask you a question about, from our reading, what would you learn from Levison, what you think would be his encouragement for us as we face the world as it is today, especially in our own country? How would he encourage us in the Spirit?
My take is that the Holy Spirit is there for the taking. We just have to be willing to listen to it.
That tells me that I do better to listen first and speak later.
That's true for all of us.
Yep. In the face of crisis, are you more likely to say, don't just sit there, do something, or don't just do something, sit there?
Well, it depends on what the crisis is.
My reaction is both of those are wrong. You ought to figure out what ought to be done.
What he is encouraging us to do is be more attentive to the Spirit within us rather than go off half-cocked like Elihu, thinking that we've got all the wisdom.
See, I don't think Elihu is all that bad a guy. So, you know, we're kind of looking at him as the bad guy, but he's really not. And who's to say, who are we to judge that God didn't put the words in his mouth? I'm serious. I mean,
one of the frustrating things in my life is the number of things where I don't want to just sit there, but I don't know what the something I could do is. That would be right.
Well, I think Levison would encourage us that as we take a moment, just stay in the Spirit and be willing to be open to what the Spirit would bring to us instead of staying in, you know, like my own assumptions about situations and people. You know, I have kind of, I can sit there and watch the news and I have my pat phrases that I keep saying over and over again. I do better instead of saying those things, just to sit there and ask the Spirit, what can I learn from this?
George, to address what you said, you don't know what to do sometimes. Sometimes I think that's when we need to communicate with other people and just kind of throw out our thoughts.
Yeah.
Discuss them like we do here, because you get different perspectives. And that sometimes is how the Spirit leads us to a decision.
Let's close with a prayer. Cassie told me that she introduced the breath prayer last week, and I'd like to do the same thing, but this time I'd like us to focus on our heart and just take a few breaths quietly and intentionally down deep, slowly, and feel our bodies relax. And now focus on your heart. It might even help to put a hand over your heart right now. And kind of picture receiving that breath directly into your heart rather than through your nose into your lungs. And Judy, this is the connection between spirit and breath. The Spirit of God is something that comes to our heart. So as we breathe in the breath for our bodies, breathe in also the Spirit for our hearts. And as we breathe out, just try to picture that goodness of God coming from our hearts to the world. And as you send that love out, you might consider a particular thing that's going on, that's troubling, or a person that's struggling, and send that love from your heart. Well, friends, the peace of Christ be with you all.
And also with you.
This podcast is a ministry of First Presbyterian Church of Marietta. Come join us Sundays at 189 Church Street, Marietta, Georgia, or visit us online at fpcmarietta.org.